you believe the throes of summer is actually happening and NXT is heating up, welcome to Draped in Gold. It is a different take on the NXT universe. Little boys here, but as always, I am not alone. I'm being joined by someone who does other after shows for other wrestling programs, the trainer himself, Jack Farmer. What's up, buddy?
Man, I'm so glad you watched that. There's just something, you know, something Liv Morgan about me feeling like, watch me.
Ding, 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 ding. I always feel like it's going to be like another show. Like it's going to be kind of like a cut to like a drama on CW or something where her theme song hits up.
But that does sound like at the very least it'd be going to like a Waller Effect type thing.
Right, exactly.
Like a talk show within the show.
but you're good though. Are you feeling right?
Yeah, it's been actually a hectic morning. No one cares about my schedule, but it's fun. It's been a crazy day.
Well, forget it. Forget about wrestling. We're talking about my schedule. I woke up this morning, went to the gym, and people don't wipe down the machines. Okay, anyway. So let's get right into it. NXT, to me, has seemed to hit another level, but another level is him. Carmelo Hayes had a week we all wish and aspire to be. Being on Raw, being on NXT, like that guy in the Mets jersey or the guy with the Trinidadian flag, just absolutely everywhere, one-on-one for the weekend contest. But to me, it doesn't matter about the victories, Jack. Let's talk about the guy, Melo Hayes, one half a Trick Melo gang and the week he's having so far.
Carmelo Hayes, we sing his praises constantly on this show, and we do it for good reason. It's because he is him, and I said it last week, that he moves through time and space differently. He has a just body control unlike anybody else.
Wait, you mean his like use of crop tops or you mean his wrestling ability?
Either or. Either or. I mean, this guy. No. Listen, I mean, what do you look for in pro wrestling? We all have our different things that we look for, whether it be the in-ring skills, as we'll say, whether it be the character, whether it be how they stand on a microphone, whether it be the style and whether or not they can pull off a crop top. Carmelo Hayes is a 10 out of 10 in all categories. He does everything well. Not only well, he does it great. Flobo, this is a guy, and I've said it for a while, this is a guy that will be one of the biggest stars in pro wrestling in 10 years, over the next 10 years. I think that this is someone that, if you haven't been watching NXT and you're new to NXT and you're seeing him now for the first time, or if he brought eyeballs from his time on Raw, you are seeing someone that we will absolutely be talking about how many WrestleManias he main events. We're going to be talking about how many championships he wins, what his accolades are. He has every single thing you look for. Carmelo Hayes is going to be one of the biggest stars in pro wrestling.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, you have the NXT 2.0 reboot, and so many people mourn the change of 1.0 to 2.0. I did, because 2.0 was tired even back then, the naming convention. But Carmelo Hayes was someone that really was an early standout and found a way to break through it and really rewarded everyone for hanging out with them as long as they can. Speaking about people mourning about NXT 1.0, got to give it up for Neeson with a boozy badass reference. Wipe me down. But Carmelo Hayes did it. Let's talk about NXT specifically, because I know on Raw he actually lost that match, but he didn't lose last night. Baron Corbin, the Lone Wolf, your boy, comes back with the old school flair. Main event time, night two of Gold Rush, which is kind of a special event for the spring into the summertime, but it looked like it was going to be Baron Corbin's night. But Carmelo Hayes had different plans, and we still have the NXT champ, and it's within Trick Melo gang.
Yeah, as we look at Baron Corbin, Lone Wolf, I've never subscribed to the idea that the music you come out to or the outfits you wear having a huge difference in who you are.
You wear suits all the time. What are you talking about? That's your gimmick. You literally have suits.
That's having suits isn't a gimmick, Flobo.
Do you wear these suits like around the house, just chilling out all the time?
These are my gym clothes. I mean, I took some of them off because it's hot, but...
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah,
for sure. I was on the elliptical machine just a second ago.
With the suit on.
With the suit on, picture you know? So,
didn't happen.
So, but the thing about this is he came out, he has his Lone Wolf music, he has his Lone Wolf style, and I'm not someone who subscribes to the fact that, oh, his music is different, his outfit is different, he's a different person. He's always been great, but I do think, I don't know if it's NXT, I don't know if it's Carmelo Hayes, something was brought out of Baron Corbin at last night at that event in that match. He was more vicious. He was more ruthless. He was more dangerous. He had Carmelo Hayes knocked out on that commentary table. He was throwing elbows. That wasn't a deep six. That was a deep 12 he hit. He had an extra fire, an extra oomph. And Lone Wolf is back. That's great. But to me, that's just the sub headline. And we have a new, vicious, dangerous Baron Corbin.
Let me ask you a question, though, your opinion, because there's somebody maybe cynical, and I'm not saying that's me, but the fact that Baron Corbin couldn't even go to a new chapter of his career, but had to go back to a persona, is that something you want to see more of in wrestling, or do you want to see talent try to figure out new spaces and new ways to interpret their characters and movesets and all that jazz?
I think he did both of what you just said. He went out, he tried new things, he tested new things, and then he realized that he had it right all along. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, his trip to Raw and SmackDown was sort of him just going to college and figuring out who he really is.
That's deep.
He was great on those brands as well, by the way. But I think that he just realized, look, he doesn't need all the other stuff. He needs to be more vicious. He needs to be more violent in that ring. And that's what he did. That's what he brought out. I think if anything, it wasn't that he went back to anything. He just shed away the stuff he didn't need anymore.
Question. Because he's your boy and you call him up all the time. Is Baron Corbin still rich or he sold his assets?
Did you see the car he rolled up in? Of course he's rich. He's doing well. He's Baron Corbin.
Right into that one. I want to give a shout out to the chat here. We're broadcasting live here and Golden on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, on Twitter, Twitch, and Trovo. And Jimmy V, what? Lone Wolf, Constable, Happy Lone Wolf. Oh, don't forget about the big time guy, the wrestling god two with JBL. So let's do it. Yeah.
Constable, the peak of all wrestling personas.
No, that was the worst. That was literally the nadir of Monday Night Raw. I mean, modern era.
I think Constable Corbin, just chef's kiss. And he would know. Have you seen his barbecuing videos?
I feel like you're chef kissing his ass, but that's just me. But we gotta move on. Well, let's talk about the NXT Heritage Cup, because it was Gold Rush and that was on the line. We had Nathan Frazier and with Ulysses Leon in his corner against Dragon Lee with Valentina for Royce in his corner. Now, I'm not going to ask you about the match. I'm going to ask about the Heritage Cup thing. But the question I have, burning question interim. I have, what do you mean interim?
Interim Heritage Champion. Interim Heritage Cup Champion.
He came out with the cup. There's no other second cup.
He came out with the Interim Cup. I mean, there's lots of champions from other companies who have walked out with titles, but they were the Interim Champion.
Okay, you got to stop.
He did not beat the champion. He's the Interim Champion.
He did.
He didn't beat the champion.
No, Amdar. Use Oramens as a proxy. That was his decision. His decision.
That doesn't mean you're the champion.
It wasn't like Shawn Michaels did it. I would get you if Shawn Michaels did it, but it was Noam Dar's decision. It was his stakes. He agreed to the stakes.
No. Noam Dar said he could, you know, that someone would go in as his proxy, not as champion. Not
yes, he did.
Title. Absolutely. That was all assumed. That was people making mistakes here. Listen. Noam Dar, until he loses that title, is the Heritage Cup champion. And anyone else who has it is just fighting for the interim championship. You got to beat the champion to be the champion. It's like the oldest rule in wrestling, Flobo. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Okay, but Noam Dar
beat the man.
Doesn't have a cup. So how does that even work then? Does he have to have a Heritage Cup rules without the title, without the cup to have the cup won? That makes no
He's
sense.
Still, listen, they go back and they say this all the time. The hardware is just the hardware. That's why you don't call it a belt. It's a championship. It's what it represents.
Right. A cup's a cup, though.
It's not what that is. I mean, and for all we know, have you got a good look at it? I think it probably says Interim Heritage Cup champion on there if you look really closely.
What's Interim Heritage? No, it doesn't.
I mean, it's Interim Heritage. I'm sure if you looked at it closely, it says Interim.
Jimmy V says, I assume the Heritage Cup was under the Freebird rule with the metaphor. Now, I actually agree with this, but I have to ask a question.
Of course you would.
Of course I do. Because Jim's smart, dang it. At what point do we say the New Day rule? Is it kind of like a thing, or is that going to change? Okay, anyway.
For tag teams?
Yeah, for just be able to like have a cup or title circulate through anyone or any iteration.
Well, they've never done that with regular titles, have they?
They will with the cup, dang it, because that's what it is.
Well, they did. They did not, but I don't know. I think it'll be Freebird rules forever, and it'll be one of those weird things that eventually people forget who the Freebirds were, but it's just like what they call it. Kind of like there's a reason why they're called lumberjack matches, but most people don't know why they're called lumberjack matches.
Oh, absolutely. It's an IKEA match. Listen, so it's with the Heritage Cup title, right? So this one here was a division that was the second division in NXT UK. It was kind of like their IC title. But now, inside the throes of NXT, I ask you, where do you think the Heritage Cup is going to go? Will it grow? Will it be something that will go by the wayside of like breakout tournaments? Or is it going to be something that's be able to work with the mix with the North American title and the NXT championship?
It's going to be hard to say because there are a lot of talented people in NXT and there's not as much time as I would like for everyone to get as far as who's on NXT, but I think that this can carve out its own lane. I love this match type. As you know, Flo, I'm a huge Heritage Cup championship fan. I love the strategy that goes into these matches. I love the way they're structured and they're set up. I like that you get these fast-paced moments with then breaks so that people can recoup and come back, and how you approach the opponent. I think it's a very fascinating and very fun match style type. I think it's really going to come down to if the American audience can embrace it. You know, sometimes American audiences, they don't, they like simple rules sometimes, you know, football, get the ball over the line. That's our goal. That's our type of sport, as opposed to things like
the King of the Mountain match. That's the most complicated modern era, like rule we all have to learn.
I mean, explain the rules of cricket to an American and tell me if they like complicated rules.
I'm West Indian. I can't do that. There's a ball. It's like a bowler. There's a wicket.
It's funny because the Heritage Cup isn't actually that complicated, really. It's basically just 2 out of 3 and multiple rounds.
There's a difference though. And I don't know if you're being a nerd about that, but under the NXT UK rules, sorry guys, we're going to rules of wrestling matches. After 6 rounds, if there's a tie, there's a sudden death round. It doesn't exist in the United States. It just goes to the retention of the champion. That's the difference I can tell between the US iteration and the UK iteration.
Which is weird because UK football, they love their ties, and in American football, we hate it. So they switch that around.
Crazy talk. Dragon Lee, though, lost. I thought his first story was going to win. Didn't do it, but even though he has a cool entrance and all that, this might be a frustrating run for this newest signing, or one of the newest signings of NXT. Oh, let me ask you this. The effort was there, at least I thought so. Where does Dragon Lee go from here?
Dragon Lee needs to find his footing. He is so good in that ring. He's very smooth, very strong. Checks all those boxes for in-ring work, but you're right. He needs to find footing. He needs to find a place, as we say in pro wrestling. His niche, is it going to be the Heritage Cup rules? I don't think so, because he just lost that match. But I do think that if he was to challenge someone like a Wes Lee, he might have an opportunity there. He's got the tools. He's just got to find a way to, like I said, find a foothold. And I don't know how he's going to do that. I feel like palling around with Nathan Frazier isn't the way to do it, because Nathan Frazier takes advantage of people and tries to manipulate them and trick them constantly. You don't think he does?
I don't think he does.
The way he tried to drive a wedge between Metaphor with having the interim championship on the line. How about the way he's trying to drive a wedge between Feroce and Leon? That wasn't very cool. Oh, by the way, did you notice how Axiom and Reggie were like, maybe we should be a tag team? He's like, yeah, that's cool, but what if you guys fought over this bad boy?
Nobody wants to see scripts of a tag team.
Every single place Nathan Frazier goes, he splits up the team. He drives a wedge between people. And like I said, when Seth Rollins was in town, he was like, hey, Seth, you're my pal. You want to be friends? Can I be a buddy with the world champion? As soon as Seth Rollins was in trouble and was getting attacked, Nathan Frazier, he hightailed it out of there. He was gone. He didn't want anything. You know that speedy little ball of Sonic the Hedgehog that goes around the ring when he comes out? That's Nathan Frazier running from helping his friend Seth Rollins.
You run from fights all the time. You told me plenty of times, don't look for me when I'm trying to ask for your help, Jack. Are you a bad person?
I never said I was.
Let's go to the chat before I cancel this show. Jim says, Actimus will win the Heritage Cup, hold on to it for a while, then retire the championship. actually like it. He could say he was the first and last champion. A Kid was the first and last champ. Kid Anonymous, I'm with that as well. I like the Heritage Cup. It just feels like it's kind of being lost in its own shuffle, despite the time, despite the fact that NXT is giving it the time to have these matches week after week. And Malcolm Esquire, and people who say Esquire, people really want to know that they're lawyers, says, I'm here for 30 seconds. The Lobos just brought up rules. Rules. Your career is about rules. Your weightlifting, legal lead, son of a gun. And what up, Flap? How's it going? Gotta go fast. Sadik.
Well, I don't like the idea of them getting rid of this, the Heritage Cup Championship. So that's where I would disagree. But let me pose a question to you, Flo. But what if they somehow find a way to switch the Heritage Cup Championship to be a women's championship?
Wait, hold on. Let me get the graphic up here. All right, continue.
What if they find a way to make the Heritage Cup Championship a women's championship? So instead of adding a North American Women's Championship, they now have a Heritage Cup Championship for the competitors who are not in the NXT championship scene.
It is an interesting proposition because the idea of the Heritage was British Rounds Wrestling. That was the Heritage being served up. So I am torn because I do think the women need a secondary championship, but I'm not sure if the Heritage Cup has a place in NXT. And that breaks my heart to say it because I am a huge NXT UK fan, but I can tell you that Asher Smith liked my content. I hung out with Andy Shepherd. I actually bought the NXT UK sponsored jersey of Enfield Town FC, not one jersey, but two, because I'm that big of a fan. And I actually have a United Kingdom championship in my closet somewhere because I took out the WrestleMania. I had to like get the smudges out. Anyway.
Didn't hear you mention one thing about the Heritage Cup.
That's you my point. Poser. That is my point. Yeah, I am a huge poser. That's my point. I feel like it was cool for what it was. It was a good way to bring back the culture of wrestling. But without that culture, it does feel like something's missing.
I love it. And if I like it, then I think everyone should be forced to bear the burden of what I enjoy.
Oh, okay. This is why to say that then. Let's talk about our social media moment of the night. Because it comes from another Flobo fave, have the eye for talent. It's Miss Thea Hale, the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship, taking on the center of the universe herself, self-proclaimed. Not Mandy Rose, not Frankie Monet, but Tiffany Stratton. That's right, I said it. Thea Hale got a huge response. A lot of things happened after the fight, but we talked about the match itself first. Thea Hale, the Carmelo Hayes of the women's division?
No. The Carmelo Hayes of the women's... You, how disrespectful of you to take someone who is only been with the company for as long as Thea Hale has been there and has only done what she's done so far and compare her to the greatest North American champion of all time, someone who's becoming the greatest NXT champion of all time, and someone who's going to go on to have a Hall of Fame career. Look, I'm not taking anything away from Thea Hale. I mean, if she continued to train with Dempsey and Gulak, she could have that kind of career. But to say already she's the Carmelo Hayes, completely unfair. Well, and the fact that she let Duke Hudson cost her the match is another problem.
Okay, all right. That didn't happen at all. You could argue.
It didn't happen at all. Thea Hale had Tiffany Stratton in the hold, had her beat. Dempsey was there helping to coach her to victory right there in her ear. This is how you get the win. Dempsey was there. Then Duke Hudson butts in out of nowhere and costs the submission, breaks it up. Now it's not happening. Now Tiffany Stratton has the chance to get the win. Now Tiffany Stratton, I hear she's actually kicked Barbie out of the Malibu mansion, was going to move in, but she said Malibu mansion's just not big enough for Tiffany Stratton.
First of all, I want to say back when Duke Hudson was playing poker, you were all about the 6'5" former Brendan Vink, and now your tune has changed. And second of all, it was Gulak that distracted the ref that caused Tiffany Stratton to be the ultimate opportunist. You talk about Charlie Dempsey, you talk about Drew Gulak, how it was good for Thea Hale, but they've caused nothing but trouble. But thankfully, Andre Chase has shown back up, and Chase Who You is whole once again.
Flobo, see, this is why you need me on the show, because I see the things that you clearly can't see. Dempsey was the one at ringside trying to coach up Thea Hale. Then when Duke was getting involved, that's when Gulak got up and said, hey, ref, get rid of Duke Hudson. He's doing bad things. He's getting involved. You got to get him out of here. But by then, the damage had been done. And unfortunately, Gulak wasn't able to get the referee to notice Duke Hudson and eject Duke Hudson from the match. And Tiffany Stratton was able to get the win. Now, you talk about my feelings about Duke Hudson, and you mentioned Andre Chase. That's exactly the point. That's the problem with these schools. They're brainwashing these great people into being these just mindless idiots like Duke Hudson is right now. That's the problem with places like Chase U. They've just brainwashed what was once one of the greatest wrestlers on NXT.
Let it be known that Jack Farmer hates education, and it's proven right there. That's what makes it out there. Let's talk about Tiffany Stratton just for a bit. Even though I'm not the hugest supporter of the center of the universe, she did do a Sky High Powerbomb, so I'm a fan now. Shout out to D'Lo Brown. She is women's champion still. And it looks like there's a huge rogues gallery waiting to take down Tiffany Stratton. Now, if you were her, would you become a fighting champion? Or are you going to be on that top of the mountain and make people fight amongst themselves and quabble and squibble to get themselves an opportunity for the strap?
Why would you just give people opportunities?
Fighting champion.
You got to earn the spot. Was she just given an opportunity? No, she had to earn it. She had to wrestle and fight for a long time to earn it. And now we have a great champion. You know what you get when you give free, I'm going to defend against anybody kind of champions? Matches? You get a bunch of nobodies taking up shots at the champion when you should be giving it to the very best in the world. And I know you're going to try to argue, Flobo, because you're the kind of person that always sees the wrong side of things. But let me tell you, the greatest champion possibly of all time, the champion that has raised the ratings and raised the income of the entire company, has really put everyone in pro wrestling on his back, is Roman Reigns. And he doesn't just defend the title against anybody. I think Tiffany Stratton molding her title reign after a Roman Reigns is a brilliant move, and I think it's the smart one.
You do realize you can't have an entire promotion with everyone with that mentality, because then there'll be no matches. You know, 6 weeks from now, I'm gonna kick your ass. But now, some purple packages. But hey, I wanted
you got Wesley and Seth Rollins. You're good.
Wow, just like the World Heavyweight Championship. It's not even a thing, but you're probably right. Malcolm says Melo isn't Melo because of his victories, which I completely agree. He's Melo because of his charisma and in-ring cooking. Hell is that she draws you anytime she's on the screen. So my mentality behind that rationale was that Thea Hell is very young. Miriam the Carmelo, 19 years old, was definitely someone that understood the assignment, quote unquote, what has the kids say. But NXT, being a colorful character, she decides, look, I'm going to be just super charismatic. I'm going to be super energetic. Yeah, Chase U went from being a sideshow to a lovable loser faction. Her trajectory is unlimited. I really feel like if she sticks with it, she could be a WrestleMania main eventer. But Jack disagrees because he hates fun. So,
oh, I think she absolutely could. She's talented and she's young. She has a bright future ahead of her. Again, assuming she doesn't get brainwashed anymore by Andre Chase, and assuming she gets back involved with Gulak and Dempsey, real winners, but she has all the potential in the world. She could get there, but I think it's too soon to be saying that she's the Carmelo Hayes. I mean, I'm not going to go out here and be like, Isla Dawn is the Undertaker. I mean, come on, let's have...
She's more of a Mordecai at this level, but I hear what you're saying.
The brakes a little bit. Let's let her get there first. The biggest problem that Thea Hale had this week, I think, is she already celebrated being the youngest champion last week before she got. I said this last week, Flobo. She celebrated too early. She counted her chickens before they hatched. That's where she fell short here. And I think we need to avoid doing the same thing and counting our chickens before they hatch with Thea Hale. Do I think she'll get there? Absolutely. Do I think she'll have a great career? 100%. But let's let her get there first.
The backpedaling was majestic.
I'm really good at it.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of impressed. We had a family meeting, Schism, which to me seems out of character because I feel like they were like, you know, non-verbally communicate. Had a little thing in the ring. They're having some problems. Looked like the dyad wanted more, and Joe Gacy has failed him as a shepherd. But Diamond Mine, are they still Diamond Mine? I'm not even sure that works. Sometimes they're in, sometimes they're not.
Diamond Mine Your Own Business is what I call them. Always butting into everyone else's stuff. Sami Zayn of them.
First of all, I'm with you with Sami Zayn. But to be fair to Diamond Mine, they did mention this. It was a match they had where they lost, and they do want their receipts back. Anyway, the fallout is next week is going to be a loser leaves WWE match. Look, we all know if you watch read the dirt sheet sites, we have an inkling of what may transpire. But the question I have for you, Jack Farmer, why would anyone agree to doing a loser leaves match on any level in professional wrestling?
Well, if you're trying to have a family conversation, right? Imagine you're with your family, Flobo, you're having a conversation, you're dealing with some serious issues, and then some random yahoos come kick in the front door and start talking trash about you and your family for no reason. You're going to say, I'm going to do what I need to do to get you out of here. And that's what the Schism and Dyad are doing. I do want to say, I thought this was a fantastic, real moment for the Schism and for the Dyad. I feel like something that's so big about Schism and something I think they do so well is they don't let their emotions control them because they don't bottle them up. And I thought the way Joe Gacy really emoted here and really let out how he was feeling allowed him to sort of unbottle some of the aggressions that have been holding him back. And the Dyad, by the way they were talking, and Flobo, I know you were thinking the same thing I was thinking. Rip Fowler started talking with a certain voice that was a little grizzled, that got me a little excited. You know what I mean? I was
you think it's gonna happen?
These guys are veterans, and I think that they've got everything it takes to be very, very good. I think this was a very powerful moment for Schism and for the Dyad. I think Diamond Mine, who physically are one of the most impressive tag teams, I think, in possibly all of WWE. I'll say NXT for now, but physically, just wildly talented. They just need, you know, I wish they just had someone who was a little strong to help guide them, if you get what I mean.
Jimmy called me out. I said Lose Leads WWE because I'm thinking about that Layla L. Michelle McCool match. But yes, it's Lose Leads NXT is the stipulation. And well, I'm only asking that because that was something I caught too. It sounded very much like GYV. And to me, I think it was the first acknowledgement that they were the same character, that Zach Gibson was Rip Fowler, Jagger Reed was James Drake. Would you want to see that again? Talk about going backwards in time to old gimmicks. Do we have a space, in theory, if there were the return of grizzly young veterans, of them existing in NXT or WWE or wherever they may end up?
As you know, we are NXT UK nerds. So
I proved my nerddom. What about you?
You didn't mention a single Heritage Cup moment, so I don't trust you at all. But the if you ask me about whether or not certain people and certain things should go back to what they were in NXT UK, I would say, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll get to that in a minute.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Let's go back to it right now. The NXT.
That's the best thing in the world. Why did they change it? I'm so upset.
I really think it was that rights issue. But there's some theme, and I understand. I feel like there's like a dip, and some of the songs are getting better. But like those are one of the ones you're like, I can't even sing along to that, and Dragon Off for that matter. But the NXT Tag Team Championships are also in line because it's Girls Rush Part 2. Gallus taking on the new number one contenders of Idris Enofe and Malik Blade. And I tell you one thing with the tag team division, and I may not be the strongest as far as like marquee names, but for interest among that gold, it is stacked. I'm trying to do notes for the show. I'm getting way behind. Gallus gets the win. They're still the champion, but you have Umberto and Angel. I'm not sure if last names are still going to be used. I'm not waiting in the wings. You have Idris Enofe and Malik Blade feeling as if this thing to be done. And well, there may be a shift when it comes to the underboss. Jack, untangle this one for me. What is going on in tag team ranks?
Well, this one played out the way I thought it would, really. And that was that Gallus boys on top. I predicted this. I think that Idris and Malik are incredible. I think I have it on good authority. They've eaten nothing but chicken and broccoli for the past 3 years based on how they're built. They're great, but I think that they've worn themselves thin, getting caught up in all the drama of the tag team division and all the beating up your own partner and being friendly and all that stuff, all the stuff that I'm against. They did that. That's what cost them here. Gallus boys on top. I think that you're right. This is a stacked division with Angel and the number four draft pick, former number four draft pick, Humberto Carrillo, also being there for Los Lotharios, and good stuff. But I think the story you alluded to here is Stax made the right choice. I'm Team Stax. Stax, you're smart. Don't be an underboss. Have some ambition. I think this is great. And anyone who is mad at Stax right now, are the kind of people who are okay being subservient to someone else who treats them like garbage. I'm glad Stax stood up for himself. I'm glad Stax decided to take control for himself. This was a great move here. And Tony D, you can't do anything about it. You're stuck in a prison cell. At least Dom was strong enough to get out of prison.
That is true. How does that even work if Dom would come out? Don't he can't. So okay, I'm not going to say I agree with you of the stabbing. I'm not going to do that. But I will say it is kind of out of character for Joe Coffey to snitch. Why would he do that? Why would Joe Coffey say, hey, look, enemy of mine, your guy is hurting me up. It seems very self-serving, doesn't it?
You almost had it there, Flobo. You're this close.
I'm never close.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Oh. I think Joe Coffey realized how dangerous and how powerful this new Stax was going to be and how Stax could take control of everything. So what do? You find a new enemy for Stax. You help out your former rival so that those two can go to war and you can stay on top and enjoy the spoils of your riches. Gallus boys on top for a reason, Flobo. Joe Coffey's been here before. He's been in these kinds of situations before. And it's not just about beating people up. It's not just about being an Iron King with your fists. It's about being an Iron King with your mind. And that's where Joe Coffey has all of these guys played already.
By the way, one of the best nicknames in professional wrestling, I have to agree with you. So what does that mean with Tony D? If you're one on-screen ally, it's not your ally anymore, is there any more family members that show up? Are we going to get gang warfare? Will Stax join Gallus? Question mark. Where's Humberto Carrillo doing to all this?
You know, I think if you want me to predict what Tony D's story is going to look like for the next, I don't know exactly how long, but let's say next year.
Right.
I think he's going to be in a small room with bars on the door, maybe a tiny window. And then the next day he's going to be in a small room, bars on the door, maybe a tiny window. Next day, small room, bars on a door, maybe a tiny window.
Okay.
And that's just going to repeat for years and years and years and years and years.
Wow. That was kind of anticlimactic.
I thought it was something that is the story of Tony D. He's caught. He's locked up. He's done. Bye.
Wow. You know, it is kind of interesting, though, because I felt like with the 2.0 relaunch, Tony D was one of the most beloved characters, but he's been in prison, and usually I'm not really asking what he's up to until they show me. Is that a bad sign? Oh, yeah, he's in prison still. How about that?
Yeah, paying for the crimes he committed. I think it's great that the justice system finally got it right.
We got one more match before we go with the burning questions. This one here was Gigi Dolin versus Kiana James, and I felt both women needed a win here more than any other individual on the roster. Gigi Dolin got the dub, but somehow got bathed in paint. Kiana James acting completely out of character. I'm not sure what to make of this. Is Gigi Dolin someone who always gets comeuppanced against? Is Kiana James becoming more brutish? What's your take on this one?
Yeah, I think it's a very... this was an interesting one. This was a show with a lot of championship matches and championship implications. So this one, it felt like it didn't feel like it had quite the big fight feel to it as a lot of the other matches.
But there was paint involved. You're an NWO guy. You love paint.
I like my paint to match, Flobo.
And spray form, Flobo. And spray form.
This isn't Jackson Pollock. We don't like to just splash our paint on
face. He's like, I have technique. I have discipline.
Yes. I have an eye. You know, you form over function and all that nonsense. But I like that Kiana James didn't just accept defeat. I like that she didn't just say, I lost, whatever, I guess, back to the drawing board. Like, no, I'm not done. I'm going to show you that I run this situation right now. And she did it in the best way possible by giving Gigi Dolin some artistic supplies to go back to painting.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be a Gigi Dolin fan because, like, you think of if you're a kid, you're like, oh man, Gigi Dolin, he either loses or wins to be humiliated. Though, as a fan of NXT and a good eye for talent, I still have a lot of stock in Kiana James. It's not coming together as of yet. And yes, of course, definitely a sore loser. I don't know if you bring paint to the ring. Are you expecting to lose a match to begin with? Questions I have. And speaking of questions, let's get through some of the other elements.
How do you know maybe Kiana James is going to try painting some stuff herself? Why do you assume the worst? Maybe she She has, why can't she be an artist? Just because she's also has a strong business acumen, you don't think she can paint a picture?
If you were going to go to a wine and sip and paint event, you would probably leave the paint backstage. Why would you bring it to the ring? Unless your intent is to use it, win or lose, no?
Have you seen what goes on in the NXT locker room and parking lot? I wouldn't leave my stuff unattended. I'd bring it with me too. I'm sure there are signs that we are not responsible for things that go missing. Lost or stolen things. So Kiana James is like, okay, I'll just bring it with me to the ring.
As we wind down here, there's a lot of elements here in NXT that I want your opinion on, just because I have questions watching this. And let's start with a big one. Rhea Ripley was backstage, didn't have a match, and got involved, well, got into an interaction with both JC Jade and Trick Mello Gang. What do you make of this one? What does Rhea Ripley want to do? Recognizance mission, you think?
I think that Rhea Ripley is one of the biggest stars in pro wrestling right now. And I think she knows that when you are that big of a star, it's very helpful when you're there to chat with some of the people that are at NXT. And I think she knows how good Lyra Valkyria is. I think she knows how good Carmelo is. I think the approach is different between both of them. You're right. I think maybe she might be looking to recruit Valkyria, because Valkyria, she's incredible. I think she might know just how good Carmelo is, though, and hoping that maybe a stern warning will keep him away from the red brand.
Oh, that always works. Stern warnings, perfect. I love the "you can't touch me" before a pay-per-view next week. Oh, he's touching me. All right.
If we listen to stern warnings, it would be a much more civilized world, Flobo.
Your wrestling show would be terrible. Stern warning listening to, and then everyone wrestles once every 3 months because they have qualifying matches.
Tonight, we have a stern warning with Rhea Ripley. And
the graphics the same. It's like you know. On NXT's Snapchat show, didn't know they had one, Roxanne Perez was asking a question, but Blair Davenport got involved and made light work of beating up Roxanne Perez backstage. Match is official for next week, but Blair Davenport, I mean, someone who's entitled, someone who's as rich as you say she is, does very much thug tactics to get her point across. What's up with that?
I knew you were going to take this approach, Flobo. I knew you were going to say this. This is what, as the kids say, F around and find out. Roxanne Perez found out. She thought she was, oh, what is it? She's talking her trash on her social media. I don't know. Blair Davenport. Ooh, scary. Yeah, you found out, didn't you, Roxanne Perez?
She didn't have time to find out. She was reading a question and got her ass beat. That's not cool.
She thought she was so cool when she was on social media, as these kids always do. These kids always think, I'm on social media, I can say whatever I want, and no one can do anything about it. I'll just block you if I don't like you. Well, guess what? Blair Davenport doesn't work that way. Blair Davenport deserves better, and Blair Davenport showed up and showed Roxanne Perez what happens when loose lips sink ships, Flobo.
You block everyone all the time, but that's all right. Von Wagner, man, he's going through some stuff. You're stocking Von. Would you buy, sell, or hold?
I'd sell. Sell on Von Wagner. I like the wrestlers that leave their emotions at the door. I like the ones that are cold and calculated. I like the Gunthers. I like the Roman Reigns. I like the people who they don't get worked up over these things. And when I see someone getting into their own head, I get worried. So I'd sell on Von Wagner until I can get that sorted.
Wow, that's awful. But it was not awful. It's next week. We're getting the return of Underground, and now it's NXT Underground. Not sure if it's going to be in the same area or somewhere cooler than that. Eddie Thorpe, Damon Kemp, and Gable Stevenson in the corner of the former Carl Hendricks. Thoughts about the match?
I want to give you a quick correction. It is Raw Underground. I don't care what the graphics say, what anyone else calls it. It's Raw Underground. Until
wow.
forever. It'll always be Raw Underground. I'm excited for this. Raw Underground, I think, was really the pinnacle of what pro wrestling is. I think a lot of, you know, for a long time, we thought it was the Attitude Era until Raw Underground came around. And I think we realized that's what great pro wrestling truly looks like. If we can't get cinematic matches, of course. But
you hate those. Wait a minute. You hate those.
I think that if
hey, don't just gloss those over that.
Were those. The absolute, you know, I think Raw Underground is the absolute peak of pro wrestling. I'm glad we're back. I hope it's exactly the same as it was last time we saw it. And when I say that, I mean, I hope people are still wearing masks. I hope they're still, I hope they haven't left the, I hope Omos is guarding the door. I hope Shane McMahon is there. I hope there's dancing. I hope it's like none of them have left. I hope it's exactly the same. I want them to ask, what's the outside world like? That's what I want from my Raw Underground.
I can't wait for the Peacock documentary special of all the things they tried during the pandemic to make that work. But that was definitely one of them that I actually enjoyed because it was like so different but dumb at the same time. Yeah. But we got a couple more of these. So we had the backstage interaction of Dana Brooke and Kalani Jordan. Kalani Jordan, if you're not watching NXT Level Up, is someone that's trying to slot into that Sol Ruco role. Very long appendages, very flexible in the ring. Gymnastics background, tag team on the horizon, or would you want to keep these individuals separate for now?
Why would Dana Brooke ever tag team with Jackson?
I don't know. She was open to it, though.
Did you notice what she said? This was something I got to bring up. I got to get your thoughts. She walks over. Yeah. And she, first off, fangirls like crazy. Like, oh my God, Dana Brooke. But then what does she say? She goes, I don't care what everyone says about you. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Very, like, what would you say? Flobo, someone walked over to you, Flobo, was like, I don't care what everyone says about you, Flobo. I like you. Like, what a backhanded comment.
I'm used to it with you, sure.
That's well, I, you know, because it's true. I don't care that everyone says you're terrible, but.
Thanks a lot. Who's a tag team?
I thought it was a little rude of the young upstart.
Right. So no tag team. That's it.
If I was Dana Brooke, I'd teach her a lesson.
Okay.
And not a Chase U lesson. I'm talking about fisticuffs.
hey, I don't know if long appendages is PG as our truth. Yes, it is PG. That's arms. And... Okay. Ilya Dragunov is Uden Bezik Bar. I'm surprised I'm making him keep that. What do you think about that? Do you think he'll be a different iteration? Do you think the Uden Bezik Bar would be an old school throwback to the UK days? What does it mean to you?
I think Uden Bezik Bar is one speed, and I don't think you're changing him regardless of what regardless of what the plans are. You're getting Dragunov. You're getting Uden Bezik Bar. And I'm excited to see it.
So officially the match next week is going to be Ali versus Tyler Bates. But there was some talks and rumblings backstage about an Ali-Wesley match with Tyler Bates being in the pinstripes. One, that is crazy. And two, would you want to see that? I mean, I'm starting to believe you're right about Ali not being on the level there, Jackery.
You should believe me because he's not. He's got a plan. And Ali is going to leave with the North American Championship when all is said and done. He's working his game plan to perfection. I don't think he maybe saw Tyler Bate sticking his nose in his business this long. I thought he assumed that the King of the Thigh Guys was going to walk off into the sunset after this. But
there was a whole royal court, and of course the top is.
He sits on thigh, looking down upon all of us.
Oh my gosh! I actually was at the gym today, so I'm trying to get myself in there. Okay, I got two more for you. One of them is kind of weird. So we saw another promo of Lucian Price and Bronco Nima, also a Level Up tag team, and now they play football in the streets. So I got to ask you: Are you on board? Would you buy provisional? Would you buy IPO stock on this tag team, or is there something that's missing for you right now?
They passed the eyeball test. I'll say that. They look tough. They look like they got what you're looking for. Would I buy the IPO stock? No. And the reason is it's congruency. It's the fact that they have not proven to me that they are consistent. And, you know, we start and the first time we see them, they're talking about all we do is play dominoes in the street. Now they're talking about how they play football. And we're on different football teams in college.
Sure.
Didn't say how well they did, but yeah, we're on the teams. Now we're not anymore. Did you get cut? Like, what happened? Why aren't you on the team anymore? There's just certain things are missing, Flobo.
Yeah.
There are just certain holes in the story I'm not really buying into right now. Now, if that might change, but right now I need to see a little bit more consistency to understand who these guys are before I put my hard-earned market bucks in these guys.
Yeah, the farmers market bucks are like pretty cool. They're provisional as heck, but they're totally nice. I'm torn because I've watched them on NXT Level Up, and again, I'm not saying Level Up is must-see television on the grand wrestling scale because there's a lot of wrestling out there, but it's always good to check in to see what the future stars of NXT tomorrow, what they're doing. And I do think the provisional, or I do think the official champion of NXT Level Up should be Dante Chen. He wrestles almost every week on that show. But my question with Bronco Lima and Lucian Price is that what or who you're trying to be. I see elements of AOP. I see elements of the Usos. And I've seen elements of the Ely brothers, which is a deep NXT cut. No one even recognizes those guys. But I see none of those at the same time. Are you tough guys? Are you friends for life? Are you doing the we fought but now we're friends like Hank and Tank or Brooks and Jensen? Are you just going to be guys who look the same? That has to be addressed. But hey, look, it's only been two promos at NXT. I like to think that Level Up at NXT are a little bit different. Like they cross over, but I give everyone a fresh chance once they hit on Tuesday night. So I would not buy as well.
Yeah, it's. I would say if you were to again, the past out, they looked. They may get into the ring and dominate someone. Might change my mind right there. But without seeing that, I always say to myself, if you just listened to if this was on the radio and you just heard the audio of them talking, did they sound like people who would be dangerous in the ring? And I don't quite know yet.
Yes, but not by suplexes. Now it's time for the best part of the show. It's now time for that MVP of NXT. You know what it is, man. What's the one individual that stood out for you? You could pick two because I think we are in agreement of who the MVP is today.
Yeah, Blair Davenport.
What? We even see her face. We saw a lip or a chin. I had no idea what we saw. Why Blair Davenport?
Because she didn't let some, I wish wrestlers, you know, they deal with so many people talking trash on social media all the time. And all they're able to do is block them. They're not able to do anything back. This is the first time a wrestler is able to look at an online internet troll, Roxanne Perez, and actually teach her a lesson. And
she wasn't trolling. Happened.
This is what Blair Davenport was like. She was the first wrestler. Blair Davenport, you're the first wrestler to finally get to an internet social media troll and do something about it. And for me, that makes you the MVP of NXT.
So, okay, hold on. On a week where the Women's World Heavyweight Champion Rhea Ripley appears, the week where Carmelo Hayes has a match on Raw and NXT, the week where everyone says Baron Corbin is back, the week where Thea Hale had the most social interactions in her career in NXT, you're saying Blair Davenport is her MVP this week.
Stood up for herself in a way that no other wrestler has been able to do so in the past. Again, I think that we've gotten to this point where where wrestlers are supposed to just accept that internet Twitter trolls are going to say these horrible things about them. And they have to be, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just block them, ignore it, whatever. Blair Davenport actually did something about it. I think that was incredible. I think Blair Davenport, kind of a role model at this point, kind of a hero to all of us. And I think she sent a message to all the other internet Twitter trolls, TikTok trolls, whatever you're on, Snapchat trolls, that you don't talk trash about Blair Davenport.
It wasn't even NXT. It was like, here's what happened on Snapchat today. You're saying she's the MVP still. If I was in that locker room, I would beat you up in the parking lot. I would invite you to the parking lot.
I think if I was in that locker room right now, they would all say, thank you, Jack, for appreciating that we're standing up for ourselves. I think it's going to create a movement.
Well, even though I thought Carmella had a good showing this week, it really was Baron Corbin. I think he had the most to gain this week. But it doesn't matter what I think, apparently, because apparently the chat agrees with you that Blair Davenport is the MVP. Why do you guys do this to me? My birthday was Sunday. I need goodwill all week. But that does it for us here this week on Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop for NXT content. Please, 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 I understand there's a lot of podcasts out there. If you love the show, drop a little like, a little subscribe, a little bit of a review on your favorite podcasting platforms. But you, Jack Farmer, if someone wants to interact with you, how to go about doing that for some reason?
You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, where you will never see me say anything negative about Blair Davenport. But you will see me promote all the places you can find me. I'm kind of doing everything at Wrestling Inc. this week. So if you want to check out the Raw review, the NXT review, I'm going to be on Dynamite tonight, and I'm going to be on the SmackDown review on Friday. Those are the best places to check me out.
wow, you're doing like quadruple duty. That's crazy, man. That's a lot of wrestling for anyone to like write notes and stuff on.
I'm filling in for everybody this week. So it's we got a lot of people on vacation, so I get to fill in and swoop in. And
for sure.
Talk.
check Jack all week. Try the veal. Next week we'll be here on July 4th, I believe. Will you be here next week? I don't know. Are you?
It's July 4th on. That's a Tuesday.
Isn't it? Come Tuesday. All right, fine, whatever. We'll be there on the 5th.
July 5th is our
The NXT will be there. We'll be here next week at Draped in Gold. I'm losing my mind because somehow Blair Davenport's the MVP of NXT. Learn more about the show at drapedingold.com. Make sure you follow us on social media right here at the @. And we'll see you next Wednesday as I try to make back in here in time from a trip to the East Coast. But until that time, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.